Players ready? Play. 15 seed here in Monaco for the first clay tournament of the year for me. It's the Monte Carlo Masters, held at the Monte Carlo Country Club. It is the most spectacular tennis location on the calendar. It's just absolutely stunning, these elevated views over the water with luxury yachts, the history, the wealth. In another sense, also a degree of familiarity, because whether it's a James Bond movie you've seen or the Formula One, the buildings and the scenes all are known to you. It's a fantastic place to be. How anyone can afford to live here, I don't know. But for 1 week of the year, it's a fantastic experience for us tennis players on the tour. It's a clay court surface. Clay court surfaces can vary quite a lot. And here, it's a very slow surface with a fair bit of bounce, but slow. So as long as the weather's fine, and let's face it, it is just about all of the time, it's a great court to play on, and relatively true for clay courts. And I say when the weather is fine, because if it's wet or foggy or whatever else, and the balls get heavy, it can be that can be hard work, but that's generally not the case. Can be windy here, but the courts are very well protected, so the conditions are pretty good. Can be hot, of course, but pretty good. At a great place to play tennis. If I sound a bit effusive, it's because I've just had a couple of wonderful days on the court. I've had two wins, and they're both quality wins, and feeling pretty good about myself, I would have to say. The lack of relative lack of success in the US is now behind me. So first up, I played Francisco Cerundolo from Argentina. Good guy, bit of a character, pretty smart guy, and has a lot of fun on the court. He's quite out there as a sort of a player. He's very bouncing, he's energetic and all over the place, and loves belting winners from anywhere. We'll run round his backhand to get his favourite forehand and really give it a good wallop. And when he gets on a roll, he's very, very hard to stop. He's one of those streaky players, and that can be both putting points together, games together, or tournaments. Anyway, that was my first upper opponent, and I was able to get over Francisco in a three-set match. Francisco won the first set. He was up and about right from the start. I didn't play badly, but I did allow him to dictate terms, and that meant long rallies. And, you know, we'd move each other around, but not the usual, you know, side to side. It was more just long rallies. And the more strokes there were in a rally, it was the better for him. He won most of those longer rallies. But on a slow court, that can be hard to stop. You can't just say, oh, you know, I'll, you know, start hitting firmly and come to the net or something like that. You don't always get that opportunity, particularly where hits the ball, you know, pretty hard, very loopy, bouncy, three-quarter length in terms of depth, but there's a bit of pace to it. And in some respects, I felt a little bit disappointed when he broke me in the final and won the first set. And whilst I can't say that that's an unfair reflection, I felt that I played as well as him, but I was now a set down. Playing Francisco Cerundolo, and I'm a set down, and my plan then was to shorten the rallies, even if it meant coming to the net, you drop shots, creating more angles, just doing what I could to keep the points shorter or different to the first set. And I think by doing that, I upset his rhythm to a certain degree, and that seemed to work for me in the more the match went on. It's, you know, the better I got, and again was able to take out the second set, which is good. Got to the obviously deciding third set, and whilst we'd broken each other throughout the course of the day, it was on serve till about the sixth or seventh game of the match, and I was able to break him, and that was really decisive, and. That was the first time that he'd fallen behind in the match, and I think he just didn't play as well after that time. I gained confidence. One of the things that I was pleased about was I served well. And when I say serve well, I was actually, I think I served well on my second serves. And what I'm trying to do this year is to force my opponent deeper, to be able to control that rally. Now, it's easier on the sort of surface we're playing, but nevertheless, that was something pleasing to me. I actually won a higher percentage of points in my second serve, and that enabled me to stay in my service games, and when I got the break, I was able to then serve out the match. When you look at the stats at the end of the day, Francesca and I were pretty even on most things. So I actually think that being able to serve well, particularly second serve, and convert probably a higher percentage of breaks opportunities enabled me to win sets two and three, whereas he probably did the same to me in set one. So it was a three-set win, 4-6, 6-3, 6-4, and I was pretty pleased about that. Well, we're back in Monte Carlo, and having beaten Francesco Cerundolo, I got through to the round of 16. Playing the fourth seed, Daniil Medvedev. And as I said with Sinner, and as I said when I played Zverev, these are the guys I need to compete with. Win, lose or draw, I've got to get out there, I've got to be in contention, I've got to play at that level. And pleasingly, this is a match where I did say, wasn't one of Daniil Medvedev's finest moments. He's hard to play against at the best of times, but today he was in one of his petulant moods. He got what he thought was the rough end of the deal with a few bad line calls. So he blamed the umpires and called the referee and then argued the point. All the while I'm having to sit and wait for the debate to go on. Not sure all the calls were as bad as Daniil thinks. We all get bad calls from time to time. It's life on the tour. But frankly, I would have thought that it's the top 10 players who actually get the much better of the deal from the umpires. But I'm not sure I'll debate that with Daniil just at the moment. I might leave that for another time. But the one thing that I do pride myself on is being able to ignore my opponent, whether he's creating delays through squabbles or protests, or whether it's medical timeouts for the non-existing injury or extended toilet breaks. It just makes me think I'm doing well. It instills a certain amount of belief in what I'm doing. And I set the goal to myself to just to continue to do what I'm doing, just to apply myself and to continue what I'm doing and not go into my shell. And I did that today against Daniil Medvedev. You know, they were two pretty tough sets. I mean, Daniil gives you nothing. I mean, he's got such an unusual game. Hits angles that no one else seems to hit. He gets to balls that you don't think he's going to reach, but, you know, he finds a way. And so both sets, we sort of, you know, through, it was only in the second half of the set that a decisive break came. In the first set, I was 4-3 up. And I broke him, and I was very pleased at on the juice point. I came up with a really good, you know, forehand down the line after a long rally. And I think that rattled him a little bit because he double faulted to lose the game. So, you know, Daniil can do that. I mean, he can go off the boil just as much as he can, you know, play great tennis. Just that he doesn't go off the boil very often, but when he does, it he doesn't always find a way back. But second set, kept my head down, kept to the game plan of moving around, but not moving him on wide angles, because he really loves that. He loves being on the side of the court, having that ability to hit a short depth angled, particularly forehand, but can be backhand. So I try to keep him moving, but with, you know, basically down the middle of the court. We both played well, got to 5-all, and then I played a really strong game. Again, a lot of pace in my ground strokes. You know, this plan this year to try and flatten out my backhand has paid off. Again, I think probably the surface here helped me a touch. But anyway, I got to, at 5-all, was able to break his serve. And when I saw him hurl his racket into the back fence and... you know, he's very lucky not to get any more than a warning. I have to say, that gave me some heart, and I thought, I just need to stay composed, serve well, and that's what I did. So, you know, I was very pleased with myself for being mentally tough, but also playing at the level of a top 10 player. And so that was really important to me. I have to say, secretly, if I had one small regret, it was that I was a little too apologetic at the net at the end of the match. I mean, it was, you know, sort of recognition of his belief that he'd been the victim of bad calls. And I don't know, I really shouldn't have done that, in the sense that I'm not sure that there were bad calls. And by doing so, I wonder if it detracts from my own achievement. I played well, and I should be happy with that, and he should be congratulating me. But look, he was fine with me. I've got no issue, but it was just, I look back now and thinking, gee whiz, I should have just puffed out my chest and outstretched my hand, but that's what I did. So the win against Daniil Medvedev, a top six player in the world, is a big deal for me and really puts my season back on track. It confirms a belief that I'm good enough when I play my best tennis. Now I've got to do that more often, and I get the chance to do that because into the quarterfinals of an ATP 1000 event, Masters 1000 event, which is it means a strong tournament and a good field, I play Stefanos Tsitsipas, who is brilliant on the clay. It's his best surface by a long, long way, and he loves a slow court. It gives him time to really load up on that single-handed backhand, which I love watching. So it's one thing to have a win over a very good player, which I did today. It's another thing to be able to back it up. That's the challenge. So tonight I'm treating myself to a walk up the steps to Prince's Palace and look out over the sea and enjoy Monaco, and then I will go and rest up and prepare myself for the Stefanos Tsitsipas match. Until that happens, thank you, ball boys. Thank you, Hawkeye.